What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, where you'll find out what the Fukushima's going on.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show. Hour number three. The phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. During this last break, I was taking a quick look out there in the corporate media world, including the corporate social media world. The attacks on Donald Trump over this fake news award issue, it's intense. It is vicious in many cases. And so it basically does signal the corporate media is that afraid of losing any more of their reputation. But again, as I've said many times in the past, they did it to themselves. And I have no sympathy for them whatsoever. They abandoned the basic principles of journalism. They abandoned the reason they were given the protection of that First Amendment, which was to serve as a watchdog on government abuse. And they went over and they joined the other side. And they do lie. That's the reality. It's a long, long way since the days of Edward R. Murrow. Okay, let's talk about the economic news here. Crude oil price hits $70 per barrel despite surging U.S. output. And apparently, the United States is trying to ramp up production to keep oil prices down. And whether they're doing that for the economic reasons or to try and put more pressure on Russia, I suspect the latter, given that story about how the United States is arm-twisting Europe to stop buying natural gas from Russia through their pipelines and to buy liquefied natural gas sent over in these tanker ships, but it's much more expensive. Certainly, the United States wants to stop that Nord Stream 2 project from going forward. It's all about the oil, where it goes, and what currency it is sold for. So, now, apparently, the World Economic Forum is worried by the potential for war, and they ought to be. It looks like it's going to happen. Syria, Turkey, U.S. going after North Korea, all the wars that we already have. So basically, on the new year, U.N. Secretary General Antonio Guterres issued a red alert instead of an appeal. And asked about trends for 2018, Joe McMonagle, a senior energy analyst at Hedgiva Risk Management, told UPI there could be a few geopolitical lottery tickets in 2018. Because war is always a gamble. War is always a risk. But the United States government has backed itself into a corner. After Bretton Woods, our bankers were getting rich loaning U.S. dollars to other countries for cross-border trade and banking. And U.S. importers were just sending boxes of ink and paper to other countries who were obliged to then accept them as equivalent to gold. And they were sending us agricultural produce and manufactured goods. That was one of the reasons for the golden time of the 1950s, was those two factors. The Bretton Woods Agreement, which was basically the U.S. imperial tax on the rest of the world, and the fact that we still had our industrial base intact, and other countries did not. Now, China and Russia are out there foreseeing the future fall of the dollar. Doesn't take a lot of brains and insight to say that, yes, that's where we're going here. And they're out there trying to basically bolster their own currencies by starting to back them partly with gold. And apparently, Russia now has 1,842 tons of gold, and China has 1,828 tons of gold. And this article is trying to reassure us all that the U.S. dollar is still solid because the United States has 8,133 tons of gold, 8 megatons of gold. There's two problems with that. The U.S. dollar is not backed by gold, and we don't really know if the U.S. still has that 8 megatons of gold. There's never been a full audit of Fort Knox in like 50 years. And we know that the New York Fed was playing fast and loose with other countries' gold that were placed there for storage. Following the Nixon gold shock and people saying, wait a minute, is America's gold? Because that gold in Fort Knox belongs collectively to the people. Is it still there? And all they did is they held a press conference. They went into Fort Knox and they opened one door for one vault. And there, yes, there was a wall of gold there. They said, don't touch it. You can't analyze it. For all anybody knows, the vault was empty behind that one stack of gold in the front. We don't know. This was an issue that we raised on the gold conspiracy episode of America's Book of Secrets. And a lot of the stuff that we described and mentioned in that show has since been confirmed. All right. We're going to, first of all, do a shout out to our honor affiliates who are rejoining our network. And then we're going to take a phone call from Terry in California. Aloha, Terry. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Mike, that conversation you had with Peter about what responsibility do the people have, he said, you know, it's our responsibility for what our leaders do. And you said, well, they all lied in the campaigns and we voted for them, so we're kind of off the hook. Maybe I didn't have that right. But don't we have a responsibility to monitor them after we put them in office? I mean, we can't just say, well, I voted the right way.
And you're right, we do. As this country was originally set up, we would elect politicians into Congress, into the White House. If they didn't do a good job, we'd vote them out the next time. But that was back when we had a fairly honest, reliable, trustworthy election system. But that's all been hijacked now. We've been disconnected from the political process. Now, I wasn't saying that the American people are off the hook. What I said is we are trying to stop this rush to war. There are no means open to us to do so, short of civil war or revolution. And I'm still not on board with either one of those.
I don't think that's entirely correct, Mike, because we could find out what's going on. We don't sit in front of CNN and say, oh, I voted the right way, so I'm just going to watch this. We got to go tune in to, an example, Republic Broadcasting Corporation and listen to this show every day. That's just one example. Stay informed is number one. Number two, we don't have to do an armed insurrection. We had 10 million people on the White House lawn in front of Congress. Don't you think that gets somebody's attention in a nonviolent way?
Yeah, that certainly would here. Lyndon Johnson wrote in his memoirs that when he looked out of the Oval Office and saw a million people on that mall, that was the day he realized they'd lost the war in Vietnam.
That's my point. And so I'm going along with Peter on that. You know, there's things we can do short of...
There's a wrinkle there. Okay, that protest on the mall was organized out of the colleges and universities, which were basically the heart of the anti-war movement. But today's colleges and universities have been transformed from open forums where ideas can be exchanged to strict enforcers of the liberal ideology. And even back in the 60s, the FBI had informants on all the college campuses. They couldn't stop it from happening. I imagine today that the FBI probably has a lot more informants on every college campus that are dedicated to just not letting an anti-war movement really get started.
Okay, if the colleges aren't going to work, let's forget the colleges. And in my case, I try to stay informed. I write my senator, but he's hopeless. He's just a talking head for the people that he represents, AIPAC, military industrial complex, big oil, big pharma, all these deep state people. And he's not representing me. So I called up with a point of view, and he's coming back with their arguments, you know, so... We've lost complete control of the people who are supposed to be representing us. But
yes.
So the colleges don't work, so find out what it is. Network. Everybody should network, you know, and then go from there.
I agree
there.
On that
and,
one.
Yeah,
I'll tell you what's going to happen, and I'll tell you what's going to happen. Resistance is best when it's leaderless. I think we're approaching a point where the American people just spontaneously are going to stand up and say, enough. It's time to stop this. And it's not going to take a call to arms. It's not going to take somebody who's out there rabble-rousing. I think there's just going to be a threshold. Same in the Soviet Union. They're just reached a point where the Soviet citizens simply said, we've had enough with this lying government. It's over. And, you know, the Politburo officially dissolved the Soviet Union, and they became the Russian republics.
Okay, so where do we go from here? I mean, the average citizen of the United States.
Well, I've been counseling that we all wait patiently, but all of a sudden I'm realizing we don't have that luxury anymore because it does look like the U.S. is going to provoke something with North Korea and really crank this thing up. I actually honestly do not have an answer for you simply because I'm caught between the rock and the hard place. I will not advocate a violent uprising or civil war. No. I know there are a lot of other people who are out there doing that. We had a caller earlier in the day talking about members of Congress swinging from ropes, and I know a lot of people are feeling that way. I'm too old to be a part of that, and that's not really a cop-out. It's just I know in my heart it's not something I'm prepared to do.
Well, I think, you know, I've said people are wising up, but then I go out and talk to the average Joe in the street, and he doesn't have a clue. And this is professional people, too. I mean, you know, dentists and doctors and lawyers and government people. And, you know, I thought they would get a little more wiser. I know a lot of people are wising up. But, yep. You know, some of them are singing their tune. You know, like, oh, Iran's going to get a bomb. We got to get them. You know, all that kind of stuff. So I talk to those people. And that's what we all got to do. You know, whether it's
I've been saying that all along. The very best thing that you can do to help us out is to take what you learn here on this show and share it with everybody that you know. And if you know, you're going to run up against a lot of people who don't want to know what's going on because they don't want to have to face the question of what they will do about it. But anytime you run into any resistance about, the government wouldn't lie about this, just remind them, Saddam did not have nuclear weapons. We were lied to by the government and the corporate media about the threat from Iraq to justify an invasion, just like we're being lied to right now about the threat from North Korea to justify a war there.
Exactly. I got a millionaire friend of mine who I talked to on the phone this morning at length, and he says, I don't want to get involved in any of that. I read, you know, I can't do anything about it, so why should I try? You know, and so, you know, where do you go from there? And anyway, Mike.
Well, there's actually something that he can do. If he's a millionaire, he could write a couple of checks to Republic Broadcasting and to whatreallyhappened.com because we're not millionaires.
I'm going to tell him that. And okay. I got my pledge in there. You know, every month you get a little bit. It's not a lot, but it's a little bit.
Oh, well,
okay,
good
Mike,
for him.
I'm going to let you go, let you get to the next caller, and we'll talk to you some other time.
All right. Thanks an awful lot here. We're going to let you go, and we're going to go to Jack in, let's see, I have to look at my little cheat sheet for Louisiana. That's Jack in Louisiana. Aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hi. I went through advanced individual training in 1974 in Fort Knox. I put down on the paper I could drive a truck, so I got to drive the guard truck around.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Did we lose Jack? I guess so. I thought we were going to get a really good story. All right. Well, the phone lines are open. And getting on back to the economic news here, apparently the U.S. and China are bracing for a trade war that could potentially impact the entire global economy. Now, at the moment, China is going along with the idea of pressure on North Korea. But if the U.S. and China get into this trade war, I imagine that China might decide their own economy is better by going back to trading with North Korea. And again, it shows everybody in Washington, D.C. is just thinking about their one little box. Okay, we've got Jack back now. So, Jack, you were driving the guard truck around Fort Knox.
Yeah, and we drove right down the road in front of the vault. The front gate was open up the walkway, and the vault door was sitting wide open. And I asked the drill sergeant, how come we're not dropping off any guards at that vault thing, drill? And he said, there hasn't been any gold there for a long time. 1974.
Oh, wow. that's quite a story there. Oh, my goodness. That's quite a story. Well, that would certainly explain Nixon's move. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, well, thanks an awful lot for that.
All right.
All right, have a good day. We're going to let you go. Getting on back to the news, we're talking about this trade war could basically convince China to stop backing U.S. policy in that region. And that means China would go back to trading with North Korea. There doesn't seem to be a master plan. It's just all these individual little neocon operatives saying, we're going to go North Korea, we're going to poke at China, we're going to poke at Russia, we're going to do this. Now, last year, the number of uninsured Americans rose by 3.2 million. And that basically tells us that the Affordable Care Act was a complete and total failure in its stated purpose of making health care affordable to all Americans. Of course, we know what happened when it got rammed through Congress. Those Obamacare-compliant health insurance policies, the premiums went through the roof, and so did the deductibles. This was a giveaway to the health insurance industries in exchange for all that wonderful campaign money that they were paying out during the previous elections. It was just a giveaway. Let's just gouge the American people for a little more wealth for our cronies and our buddies and all of our friends here. But in terms of its stated purpose, it was a complete and utter failure. And I'm glad that the individual mandate has been removed. But look at all the people who fought that. And part of the reason is because Congress, members of Congress, are not required to have a blind trust the way the president is. And so they can invest in companies that benefit from the laws they pass. And then they will oppose any change to that law in order to maximize their profitability. In a way, it's almost a form of insider trading. And there was actually an attempt to pass a law specifically to forbid members of Congress from profiting from information they acquired in the course of their duties. Not too surprisingly, it lost in a landslide. Getting on over to Great Britain and Europe, a lot of stuff going on over there. Jacob Rees-Mogg's new Brexit job revealed. Euroskeptics are vowing to battle the cabinet. Now, I'm not going to get into the details here. What is coming on is apparently there is a growing movement for a hard Brexit. Everybody is just tired of this thing being dragged out and dragged out, and Theresa May just giving more and more to the EU for permission to leave. But Great Britain doesn't need Brussels permission to leave. That was written into the original European Union compact. Anybody had a right to leave anytime they want. And the British subjects voted for Brexit against overwhelming election fraud, I might remind everybody. And the Remainers have been just trying to obfuscate the issue and trying to basically create a situation where everybody's going to say, well, let's have a second referendum. We'll try harder with the election fraud this time. Or, you know, there's no real reason. We'll be better off staying. They're trying to keep that stepping stone to the New World Order, one world government intact. And it is really starting to fall apart. Facebook apparently is expanding its investigation into whether Russian agents tried to influence the Brexit vote. Notice how Russia gets the blame for everything these days. The Brexit vote succeeded for the people of Britain. Oh, it must be Russia's fault. DNC emails leaked. No, it was Russia. Russia did that. Russia did all those bad things. And again, it's part of that demonization process that precedes war. And after that little alert that we got on Saturday, it's a very real thing around here all of a sudden. And by the way, I think I mentioned this before, nobody around here is buying the story that it was simply an accident. And they're all very angry over that 38-minute delay. I think it was a test of how the public was going to respond, both here and in Japan. Got to take a break for commercials. We'll be right back.
For the past past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions, in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience-supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
Do you or someone you know suffer from chest pain, blood pressure, cholesterol, or irregular heartbeat? Are you looking for a more natural solution to overcome these health challenges? You hear the ads all the time. If this stuff's so good, why doesn't my doctor prescribe it? That's easy. Doctors are not trained in natural medicine. Extendivite Heart Tonic does want you to be as healthy as you can be, and it really works. Take Extendivite for 6 months and your doctor will say, I don't know what you're doing, but don't stop. It's working for you. Get the dependability of Extendivite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
We will not go down in the night without a fight. You can burn up our mosques and our homes and our schools, but our spirit will never die. We will not go down in Gaza tonight.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. We've got a caller, Art Off the Grid. Aloha, Art. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, Mike. You know, I was originally going to call in to comment on something I recently learned about Monsanto, but then you had to go and mention Obamacare.
Sorry.
Let me share with everyone what we're going through here. I just recently had to come back from Homestead in Missouri to come back here to Georgia to take care of my mom. And I remember back in the early 2000s, leading all the way up to about 2008. Now, my dad died in fall of 2008 before Obamacare was passed, okay? So we still had our old insurance. And for about 10 years, my dad received in-home nursing. And we never, ever, ever had a problem. Great insurance company, not going to mention their name, because they really are a very good insurance company, and they're always good about paying, and we've never had a problem. But now, my dad passed away in fall of 2008, before Obamacare became law. But now my mother has been diagnosed with severe lung cancer. It's stage 4. It's terminal.
And we're just now getting into the point where we're trying to figure out, we're just focusing on the comfort thing because there really isn't much else we can do. But we're trying to get her set up with in-home health care and such as that. And lo and behold, virtually every single in-home nursing care business in this area, including the one that we used with my dad, no longer accept our insurance. And the reason they gave is because they don't accept the standards by which Obamacare has set. Our insurance is Obamacare compliant, and they refuse to accept it. Now, ain't that something?
Yeah, it sounds, I've heard a lot of similar stories where people are spending more money to get these Obamacare compliant health insurance policies only to find that along with the sky high deductibles, that many of the healthcare providers, in their area just don't want to deal with the paperwork.
Well, see, the thing is, my mom has had this insurance, was with this insurance company long before Obamacare ever came, in the late 1990s. So my mom's had this insurance policy for decades, but because when Obamacare become mandated, the insurance company went Obamacare compliant. And now now home health care facilities around here will not accept these insurances anymore because they're Obamacare compliant, and they won't. They absolutely refuse to go there.
Yeah, I mean, this is really one of the reasons we should have gone single payer or have a single national health insurance system. Because as you know, I've been taking Claire to medical care facilities over the last couple of weeks here. And we see taped on the door these signs saying, "We're sorry, we no longer accept insurance from blah, blah, blah." And there'll be a list of companies. And these health insurance companies are trying to make deals with all the healthcare providers, and sometimes the deals just don't work out. Sometimes there'll be a change, and it gets to be a point where the healthcare provider says it's more trouble than it's worth. And certainly, if you look at the paperwork requirement for Obamacare, that is really the issue for most of them, is all of the added bookkeeping, because they have to hire people to take care of all the added paperwork that runs up their costs.
Yeah, and see, what people aren't understanding, especially people in Washington, I wish they'd pull their heads out of their derrieres and get some real serious reform going on here, or at least allow the insurance companies to go back to the way they used to be and start actually negotiating contracts and things like they used to do, because my mom cannot be left alone. She needs somebody here with her all day long, and unless I can get in-home nursing, guess what I cannot do? I can't go get a job.
Boy, that's a rock and a hard place. You know, the first thing that occurs to me is you might want to approach, do some research and see if there are any medical charities in your area that will look at your circumstance and say, we're going to provide the in-home care so that you can get a job. And I wish I had more information to share with you. Unfortunately, I don't. Also, we're going to have to let you go. Oh, no, we've got another minute. They changed the clock on me. I haven't updated the graphic. That would be the first place that I would start.
Live in a little town like I do of less than, I think we have less than 7,000 people. It's kind of hard to find, and it's pretty much a very poor county here in Georgia anyway. It's kind of hard to find any kind of charities, of any kind.
Is there do you have any extended family?
Retirement.
Do you have any extended family, cousins, nieces, nephews?
Nope, it's just me and my mom.
Oh boy, that's
tough.
Really,
it's tough.
Yeah.
So
okay, well, anyway, now we're coming up on the commercial break, and I wish you luck. I wish you luck, and we're going to let you go here. Okay, we'll be back with another phone call after these few words.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
I'm getting older and noticing that my body just doesn't work as well as it used to. So I like to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. Recently, I started having a nagging bicep pain and it got so bad I couldn't even lift the weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in veins and arteries that may cause blockages. You know, after just 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone and now I'm back in the gym full strength. Scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim has superior oral chelation action that helps promote cardiovascular health. So to learn more, go to angioprim.com. That's A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M.com. Or talk to a trained consultant. Call Angioprim toll-free at 877-882-7221. You'll feel better with more energy. Call 877-882-7221 or go to the website angioprim.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Visit us online at whatreallyhappened.com. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
Aloha, America. Welcome back to our show. We're going to take a phone call, then we're going to go back to some news here. Sherry in Texas. Aloha, Sherry. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind today?
Thank you. I've been dying to ask this question. I know the guy who pressed the button couldn't undo the accidental press, but what I want to know is what prompted a button, any button, to be pressed in the first place? What button was he supposed to press? Did he just accidentally sit on it or what? And why?
Well, it wasn't really a button. It wasn't really a button. It's a menu on a computer screen for this emergency communication system. And I actually saw a photo of the display. And whatever they paid for this software, it was way too much because it was one of the most primitive user interfaces I've ever seen. But they have a long list of things that you do, many of them with a lot of acronyms, and that may have been the problem. Because you look down and you say, well, what does this actually mean? And it turns out that there are two menu items, and one is to test the the missile warning message system, and right below it is to actually send it out. And the menu item for testing the missile message system doesn't say test. It's got some other acronym in front of it. And that's basically what happened is he hit the wrong one.
Yeah, okay.
No, actually, it did say test, but there was this acronym, and he just, you know, there's so much to try and figure through. That's the official story, but right now, I don't believe that anymore.
Yeah, I don't either.
First and foremost, because of that 38-minute window before they went on out, and yes, it's a false alarm.
Yeah.
And at this point, given that there was one right here in Hawaii, and then 2 days later, there's one in Japan. I think it was actually testing what the public reaction would be to that message for some planning they're doing.
They called Trump a loose cannon, and he wasn't so loose, was he? I mean, he didn't respond if he got the warning at all himself. You know, I mean, I'm kind of glad that I agree. They were kind of seeing what would happen, I think, maybe. I mean, there's always a possibility. I can't believe it was so inept, that menu screen.
Trump didn't get the message. He was in Florida.
Okay.
Nobody outside of Hawaii got that warning. It was heard on, you know, it was all across all the eight islands, occupied islands of the state, but it didn't go to the mainland. And Trump's response to this was very reasonable. He simply pointed out this was a failure at the state agency level. No federal agency was involved. Now, the state agency tried to explain away the 38-minute delay, saying they were waiting for FEMA. But FEMA has since come on out now and said that, no, the state agencies are certainly authorized to immediately retract and correct erroneous messages. So we still don't know what was going on. But between the fact that it happened twice here in Hawaii and Japan, and the 38-minute delay here was only 5 minutes in Japan, I think they were testing the public reaction.
I think so, too. 100%, I think so. I wonder if he went to launch a missile and it didn't work, and then he got, I think he was just, whatever it is, it doesn't look very on the up and up, for sure. And especially in Japan, too, I was worried about Japan, too,
Been a real warning of a missile coming in from Pacific Command or FEMA, the sirens would have gone off at the same exact time that the messages appeared on TV and smartphones. And there obviously would have been breaking news headlines on certainly our local TV news.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you for filling me in, because I've been dying to know about that. I appreciate it.
You're very welcome. I got to tell you, it was not pleasant to actually go through, although for Claire and I, it was really only about 5 minutes. But for a lot of other people, it just dragged on and on for half an hour.
Sure.
All right, we're going to let you go. Thank you for the call here. And before we take any more phone calls, I really do have to get some news in here. Yesterday, we were talking about this story where the Department of Homeland Security was looking to see if they could lodge criminal charges against sanctuary cities that refused to cooperate with federal deportation efforts. And I questioned the wording there. Charges against sanctuary cities, I'm not sure exactly what that meant. Were they just, you know, suing for damages or fines or anything like that? But today there's been a clarification. The Department of Homeland Security chief has basically come on out and said they are looking at criminal charges against elected officials from sanctuary cities. And in point of fact, there is ample room for them to file charges under Title VIII. Multiple charges, one count per illegal immigrant. And when you total up all those illegal immigrants, that's some serious jail time, probably longer than most of these people are going to be living. All right, let's take one more phone call from Milton in Pennsylvania. Aloha. Welcome to the show.
Hello,
what's on
Michael,
your mind?
Michael, I was given thinking of a scenario as far as the draft went. My daughter, in the beginning of the school year, got a letter from the school that they could do a lockdown and they could take the children to an undisclosed place that not even the parents would know. Now, couldn't something like that with a lockdown, if they're saying, okay, you're not going home, we need you in the military? Is that
well, I think at some point, you know, it would have to be on a large scale to get a sizable military force, and at some point the parents are going to be up there in arms. It doesn't sound very practical to me. In fact, it sounds like the usual heavy-handed, over-the-top emergency planning by a school board that doesn't really know what they're doing. I can understand a school wanting to lock down the school and evacuate it completely. The part about taking the kids away to a location that's not even disclosed to the parents, that doesn't even make any sense to me.
My daughter got a letter to that effect, an undisclosed place. And I said, I'd be up in arms over that one.
Well, if you still have that letter, if you could scan it and email it to me, I would definitely take a look.
Okay, we'll do.
Thanks an awful lot.
That's pretty much about it, Michael.
All right, have a good day. We're going to let you go. I'm going to skip forward on the talking points because we're running out of time, and I want to get into some stuff that we need to talk about. Over in Uganda, doctors are saying that the eye bleeding fever is already an epidemic, and they're calling it the Crimean Congo hemorrhagic fever. So, again, yes, this is hemorrhagic. What's really weird about this is that they've identified it as pretty much the same, a very similar disease to that which wiped out much of the Aztecs. And they know about what wiped out the Aztecs because they were able to recover DNA of the pathogen from scrapings of the teeth of skulls. And so they know what killed off the Aztecs, and this appears to be very, very similar indeed. And right now, this illness, this hemorrhagic fever, has a 40% fatality rate, and because it is a virus, has no cure. And that's something people need to realize when we're looking at this or the flu outbreak. Doctors can cure bacterial diseases. They can't cure any viral disease. Zero. Zip. Nada. Because of the way they integrate into the cells and into the cells' DNA. Getting on back to the flu that's hit the United States of America, there's an article out here from the Daily Mail. Flu drives hospitals into war zone conditions, tents on the street in California, state of emergency in Alabama. Boston is using Gatorade to plug shortage of IV drips. And that's actually not as silly as it might sound. One of the good things about working on this show that I worked on called Off the Map was learning about some of the shortcuts that remote medicine has to do. And if you're out of IV saline drips, you can actually use coconut milk. And it works very good as an emergency hydrator. So Gatorade, yeah, guess so. But it's obvious that this illness, this flu epidemic, has already strained the medical system to its limits. Were it to turn into a panic, were we to see the Japan flu and the French flu show up here, this could get really, really nasty. We might see them having to call off World War III because everybody's too sick to fight. Meanwhile, over on the East Coast and across that part of the United States, there is a second U.S. winter storm. It's canceled more than 1,500 flights, and apparently 57 million East Coasters from Florida to Maine are hit with snow, ice, and freezing cold temperatures, and that means that our good, hardworking people at RBN are probably going to be seeing some of that in the next 2 days. So let's talk about computers for the remainder of the show here. Apparently, there is a message being sent around, and it's a text bomb. It works by sending iPhones, iPads, and Macs into a frenzy after a malicious web address is opened in Apple's message app, and it's called the Chai OS hack. Causes devices to crash and can delete all your messages, and it affects any device running iOS and Mac OS. They're promising a fix for the exploit somewhere down there in the future. Actually, I think the best solution would be to hunt down the people who are doing this, writing the malware. You know, even if it takes a Manhattan Project-sized effort, start hunting these people down and start having some mass hangings, and that will start to reverse the problem. But right now, the cyber criminals, they're living in Wonderland. They write this stuff. They send it out. They have fun because they feel powerful destroying people's systems, or they're making huge amounts of money with ransomware, and nothing bad happens to them. They're more likely to be hit by a lightning bolt than get arrested for what they're doing. That has to change. Now, Oracle has told users of its Spark-powered platforms they may have the Spectre processor design flaw. And patches are coming soon. And just like all the other patches, it will slow down their computers. Just think what this Spectre and Meltdown have done. Our machines are now much slower than we paid for. And we're dealing with all these hacks and patches. We should have just been allowed to stay with all of our original XP machines. Apparently, another hospital got hit by ransomware, cost them $60,000. And until the ransom was paid and the ransomware unlocked, the staff was forced to keep notes with pencil and paper. Got to find these people here. Apparently, a security researcher has claimed that 500,000 Chrome users have been hit by 4 malicious browser extensions pushing click and SEO fraud. And Iceberg's Justin Warner and Mario DeTore spotted the extensions while investigating a spike in outbound traffic from a workstation in a customer's network. And the company claims the 4 extensions had more than 500,000 downloads in all. Pardon me. The extensions were change HTTP request header, which is a legitimate capability to hide the browser type from trackers, and 3 apparently related to it, Nuggle, custom logo for Google, light bookmarks and stickies, which is Chrome's equivalent to a post-it note. Over in the world of Androids, another powerful spyware has been discovered called SkyGoFree. And apparently, researchers are saying it's one of the most advanced Android spyware tools that gives hackers full control of the infected devices remotely. Sounds like something more a nation state would do. The Android spyware has been designed for targeted surveillance, and it's believed to have been targeting a large number of users in the past 4 years. Now, since 2014, the SkyGoFree implant has gained several novel features previously unseen in the wild, according to a report published by Kaspersky Labs. And these new features include location-based audio recording using the device's microphone, the use of Android accessibility services to steal WhatsApp messages, and the ability to connect infected devices to malicious Wi-Fi networks controlled by hackers. This feels like something coming out of either CIA or NSA to me. YouTube is now tightening the rules around which channels can be monetized. Your channel will have to have 4,000 hours of annual viewing time and over 1,000 subscribers, or you will not be allowed to make money off of it. Of course, YouTube does not allow us to monetize. They never have. Now, here's some good news. Here's some very good news. 22 state attorneys general have sued to block the net neutrality rollback. This is one of the first high-profile attempts to block the FCC's plan to allow internet service providers to have for-pay fast lanes and to basically marginalize websites without a lot of money or websites that somebody doesn't like. And the lawsuit has been brought in front of the U.S. Court of Appeals for the D.C. Court, asked the court to determine that the FCC's repeal is arbitrary, capricious, and an abuse of discretion under the law. The suit will also argue that the FCC wrongly reclassified broadband as a so-called Title I information service rather than a Title II service because of an erroneous and unreasonable interpretation of communication law. Basically, the FCC reclassified the internet because they wanted to get around that common carrier designation. But now they're looking at a lawsuit. This could go all the way to the Supreme Court. So we may still have our free and open internet yet. Now, getting on back to the medical stuff here. The Daily Beast came out with a piece basically pointing out the state of Mississippi has the worst overall health in the nation. But because of government mandates, they have over 99.4% vaccine coverage starting in kindergarten. In other words, Mississippi is the unhealthiest state in America, but they have the best vaccination rate. Does it not make sense that something should be looked into here? Now, apparently back in 1979, the Mississippi Supreme Court eliminated the state's religious exemption to vaccination. And there are still 47 states that allow parents to basically say, no, you may not vaccinate my child. But we've been hearing all these stories about how people who are vaccinated for an illness come down with that illness. I'm wondering how many of the people suffering from flu in this country right now had that flu vaccine. They've already admitted it's completely ineffective. Maybe it's the source of the widespread infection. We don't know. We'll be right back with the last segment of our show after these few commercials.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Hey folks, CBD is the home run hitter for health right now. Why, you ask? Because of what it does for the body. Unfortunately, I can't tell you all about the benefit. You know, there's reasons. Do your due diligence and log on to AncientLifeOil.com. That's AncientLifeOil.com. Ancient Life Oil uses organic ingredients and is blended in coconut oil for some of the best benefits. Legal in 50 states and non-psychoactive. Log on to AncientLifeOil.com. That's AncientLifeOil.com.
Do you worry a lot? Whether you're a college student, busy professional, parent, or grandparent, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in 1 to 2 weeks. Call 1-800-758-8746 or calmandclever.com.
When all this twisted steel was swept away, did these remaining holes reveal what really happened?
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show. Last segment of our program today. And over in Pennsylvania, there's a state senator, Mike Fulmer, and he's seeking support for a law that would require medical professionals to obtain informed consent from parents prior to vaccination. This law would require they be told of the potential risks associated with the ingredients of vaccines, like aluminum, thimerosal, and peanut oil. And Fulmer says the present laws limit parental rights to refuse vaccines and violate the constitutional right of due process. He's also planning a resolution requesting Congress to repeal the 1986 National Childhood Vaccine Injury Act that protects vaccine makers from liability for vaccine injuries and blocks parents from suing for damages. I think that's a very good idea. Of course, the vaccine industry is going to lobby like crazy against it, but Senator Fulmer may find himself a rather surprising ally in this because, believe it or not, President Trump does not get the flu shot every year. And back in 2015, he explained why. He did an interview with SiriusXM's Opie and Jim Norton, and he basically said that when he was very young, he got the flu shot. It made him very sick. In fact, he got really sick from it, and he vowed never to do it again. So we know a lot of people who get the flu after getting the flu shot, and we know why. Because the attenuated pathogens can often revert to full potency once they're in the body. Now, getting on back to this issue of aluminum, a lot of people are talking about thimerosal, the damage that it can cause, and it does. But there's also aluminum salts that are used as adjuvants. Now, adjuvants are there to provoke an immune response, to literally annoy your body so it will respond and produce antibodies to the included pathogen. But what happens to those adjuvants after the shot is all over? Well, nobody's been paying attention to that. I think the epidemic of peanut anaphylaxis is from the practice of using peanut oil as an adjuvant in vaccines. We know that there is definitely indications of a link between the mercury-based preservative thimerosal and autism, which is also at epidemic stages in this country. And now there is apparently an investigation underway that is looking at what those accumulating aluminum salts do to brain tissue. And there is known to be a link between aluminum and Alzheimer's disease. So these vaccines are incredibly dangerous. They're unproven. Every year they're making apologies for why they don't work, and yet more and more governments are basically saying, you will buy this product, you will stick it in your kid, you don't have a choice anymore. The vaccine companies need the money, and we need to prove that how butch we are, that we are in complete control of you. And you look at all the damage that has been done in the name of profits for the medical industrial complex. It's disgusting. Okay, there's the music. I got to take Claire to the doctor. We'll be back here tomorrow on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Until then, first of all, stay tuned for John Stedmiller. He's got a lot of good things to share with you. And second of all, take what you learn here, share it with other people. Don't use the corporate social media. They're already filtering it all. Just go out and talk to ordinary people and let them know they're not alone in their own doubts. Because those doubts, that fear that they might be alone, is why so many stay silent. We'll be back tomorrow. Aloha, America.
Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
35 million people in the United States suffer with debilitating migraines. If you or a loved one are one of them, you need to know about MigRelief. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist that formulated and patented the MigRelief migraine formula. MigRelief is a non-prescription dietary supplement recommended by neurologists, pharmacists, and pediatricians to address nutritional deficiencies in both adults and children over 2 with migraines. Try MigRelief for 3 months and see the powerful difference it can make in your life or get your money back, no questions asked. Go to MIG911.com or call 800-MIG-7354. You can change your life today.
So if you suffer from migraines, don't wait. Call 800-MIG-7354. That's 800-MIG-7354. Or visit MIG911.com.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.